Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Events with Benefits, a podcast designed to help nonprofit organizations raise more money and achieve greater success at your fundraising events. Now, my name is Danny Hooper. I'm a professional fundraising auctioneer, and I'm joined here today in the world headquarters of Winspire in sunny Southern California by my co-hosts Ian Loth from Winspire and Renee Zal from Donation Match. And today, our very special guest is Dan Dowling from Willett Dowling and Associates, and Dan is a consultant that helps nonprofit organizations go out into the community and raise money for capital campaigns. That's what we're going to be learning about today.
Yes, I thought today's interview was fascinating with Dan Dowling, actually father-in-law of one of our previous guests you may have heard, Mary Tovella Dowling, who talked about some legal considerations. But Dan here has a wealth of knowledge all about capital campaigns. One thing he really emphasized that I thought was important was the idea of pre-planning. Make sure you have a plan in place before you start going and doing any of the actual transactional things for your campaign. Make sure you have your ducks in a row and before you go down that road.
And if you don't know what a capital campaign is, stick with us because Dan explains it very clearly. But what I found encouraging, you don't have to be a huge organization like YMCA or a major hospital foundation to go out and launch a successful capital campaign in your community. With the right planning, doing the feasibility studies that he talks about with us, and as I said, the advanced planning, even small organizations can go out and have very, very successful capital campaigns. You'll want to stick around till the end because in the last part of the podcast, Dan shared something with it, just kind of spit out of his mouth. I don't think he realized it, but it is an incredible idea for raising money for your organization. So let's get started. Dan Dowling. Well, our special guest on today's episode is Dan Dowling, a campaign director with a company called Willett Dowling and Associates. And Dan, great to have you joining us here on Events with Benefits.
Well, thank you for having me.
Good. Now, your specialties, you specialize in the world of capital campaigns, feasibility studies, fundraising growth. Maybe you can just, in your own words, tell us a little bit about your background and maybe describe yourself exactly what it is that your company does.
Well, I've been in the nonprofit business for the last 32 years as mostly as a CEO of a YMCA. And over those years, I've been fortunate enough to be involved with three major capital campaigns and all levels of fundraising also, from annual support campaigns to endowment development. And in those processes, conducting feasibility studies. And transferring that information into a consulting field where I can use my expertise and skills to help other nonprofits and to develop their own financial development programs.
All right. Now, for our listeners that perhaps don't know, Dan, how would you describe what exactly is a capital campaign?
A capital campaign is where an organization finds they have needs to expand or renovate their physical building and facilities to deliver more services and to the community. And so they need to go out and raise major funds to, again, either expand or add on to their current operations.
All right. Now, if an organization is looking to do this, where do they begin?
Well, where they begin is looking at themselves and finding out where they're at. There's a readiness program that we suggest is it's really introspective, where they look how strong they are in their board, their executive management, their image in the community, and where they really want to go, and that before they even think about going out to raise funds, that they need to find out where they're at in the eyes of the community and in the actual strength of their organization.
All right. Now, you have been involved in a number of these campaigns. Is there perhaps a case study that you could share with us?
Our own personal cases, cases I have been involved in, where we had raised, have been involved in three capital campaigns. The last one was for $1.5 million, and I had done one about 15 years ago here at the Du Bois YMCA. We were seeking to raise $2.5 million, and you know, we start the process the same way, and where we looked at ourselves, and then if we found out that, see, during this introspective look at ourselves, that we had shortcomings, we took the time to develop those shortcomings so we can go out and be prepared to do our campaign.
So, Dan, in your own words, can you explain to us what exactly is a capital campaign?
Okay, capital campaign is where an organization, a nonprofit organization, goes out to raise funds to meet its building needs. It's found that it's through expansion of programs or to expand on enabling the organization to grow, to meet more needs. It needs a bigger, more modern plant. It will go out and raise funds to meet those needs. Usually they're large number needs, and they're to raise building or renovation needs. It's a major undertaking, usually a short 6-month process where it's people go out and as teams of an organization to go out to raise these funds. That's not a good answer.
Yeah. So Dan, what do you think a nonprofit should do when they decide they need this money? What are some of the first steps they should take?
The first steps they need to do is to really look at themselves and conduct a readiness assessment of the organization. Where they stand in with their board, is it a strong board? Their executive staff, does the CEO have experience to run this? Do they have a good image in the community? That also follows the organization. There has to be an introspective look at the organization. Does it have a strong image in the community of carrying out its programs and services? They have a strong financial position. Do they have a strong current capital, annual support campaign that would show support for their services? And do they have a strong case for support? And that would be something they have to ask themselves. Do we have a good reason to go out and ask for funds in the community? And then if those questions are asked, then each step has to go to the board and ask, are we ready to go to the next step? And then the next steps would require determining cost of the project, the cost of the to operate what you want to build, doing a pro forma on your on what you want to get done. And then before you start any kind of fundraising efforts.
All right, Dan. So from your experience, what are some of the shortfalls that you're seeing out there with nonprofits? What are some of the common mistakes, perhaps, that you're seeing them make when they go out to establish or initiate these capital campaigns?
Well, the thing is they don't do the prep work. They don't ask those questions, and they don't have honest answers going into it. A lot of times people want something so badly they'll overlook their shortcomings, and which is a mistake. They need to either go back and reconsider those and see if they can work on those shortcomings that would come out of that readiness assessment, or be honest with themselves and say, well, we're just not ready at this time to do that. And delay it for a while. That's the biggest point, is that they need to be honest that they're ready to go to the next step and to get buy-in from their board and their community up front before they go out in to raise funds.
So do you suggest they do surveys? Are there specific questions they should be asking of the board or their communities or their stakeholders?
Well, there is. In the prerequisite, the readiness assessment, that is really an internal, that's what you go and ask your board, what they think of themselves, of the CEO, of the image of the organization. That's all done within the board. Once you get to the board buying in and saying, yes, we think we're ready to go, that's when you'd move into doing a feasibility study. The feasibility study can be done by your volunteers, or you can hire outside services to a consultant that would go out and ask the questions of the community. You'd go out and interview key leaders in the community that would ask questions on, again, those same issues, image of the board, image of the organization. Does it meet community needs? They feel that you need to, do you feel that that organization needs to expand or renovate? And would you support that organization? Now that information is then given to the board to make that next step. After they find out information from the community through this feasibility study, then they are, then they have to, again, each step along the way, the board gets a chance to make a yes or no, or if we want to continue or we want to pull back after they get the information. And then if this information comes back from the consulting service or the group of volunteers going out asking these questions to the community, then you can make a realistic decision if you want to go out and start raising large funds to either build or renovate your facility. Dan, and then after that, I'm sorry.
No, sure. Carry on.
Well, then that's, you don't get into the actual spending money on architects and building and contractors until you've done these preliminary steps. You need to do the legwork early to get the feasibility study, get the information back. And, you know, each step along the way, the board is gathering buy-in to see if they want to continue with this process to the point where you're going to actually go out and raise funds. And then when you start raising funds, then you can get into the actual developing of the project.
Dan, I want to ask a question here. Obviously, if you're an organization with the size and reputation of a YMCA or a major hospital foundation, that's one thing. What about the smaller organizations that desperately need to launch a capital campaign to renovate a facility or to perhaps do some new construction, but they just haven't got that presence in the community, even though their reputation perhaps is good or neutral? What do we do in that case? What do you recommend for these smaller organizations?
Well, I think there's information out there on conducting these preliminary steps. They need to use all the information they can to ask it those internal steps. But there are organizations like our company that really focuses on these small nonprofits that need help. They don't have a development office. They don't have a strong CEO with fundraising background. So our company really focuses on those groups and tries to cut our costs. We are a small company that uses associates that in expertise that we call in to do campaigns. We try to eliminate any cost that may be involved that brings our deliverable cost to the organization down. So there are companies like ours that focus on helping smaller nonprofits, and I would consult with those people with us and or some other ones that really can help them direct their campaign. But I think a lot of the upfront things, the evaluation, self-evaluation can be done by themselves and then call in a consultant that specializes in nonprofit, small nonprofits.
So do you happen to have a formula or some way of calculating based on key statistics, maybe past fundraising success to help an organization know what may be realistic in a capital campaign?
Well, that's where the feasibility study comes in. That when we say we would do a feasibility study for someone, we'd go out and gauge the level of support. We'd actually ask the questions, would you support this campaign based on this case for support that we're presenting? And then we would come back to that organization and say, this is how much we think you can raise based on this community, your case for support, and your personal organizational involvement. And we weigh that out. We give a professional assessment on what we feel your organization, we give you a range that we feel you could raise based on the information we obtained in the feasibility study. And that's exactly what the feasibility study is for. There isn't a rule of thumb saying how much you can think an organization could raise. It all depends on your case, your case support, and the level of commitment in that community to supporting nonprofits. And it always starts with your case. And do you have a good case for support? If you don't, then you really don't have anything to go out and base your fundraising on. You have to have a need in the community to get the money.
Okay, that's really good to know that it sounds very personalized and can even depend on what else is going on in the nonprofit environment of their own communities at that time. So,
exactly. You'd have to weigh it out with what other nonprofits are doing. Is there another major fundraising event going on in your community at the time? How large is your community? And it is personalized. To go out and say, well, this organization can get this much money is not really possible. And that's why you have to make the investment either in time with your volunteer group to go out and conduct your own feasibility study, or to hire an outside firm to do a feasibility study for you and bring that information back. I would always recommend, in my past experience as a CEO of a small nonprofit, we've done our own feasibility studies in the past, and we've hired outside counsel before to do feasibility studies. I feel the information that comes back from an outside counsel is much more effective in what we're trying to obtain, because people will give you the information, will give it to a consultant, give the answers to those hard questions on your image and are you doing the work in the community, and things that they won't tell you, they'll tell a consultant because they have no personal relationship with you. So they can give unbiased information back so you can make a quality decision.
Dan, you would probably agree that the fundraising space has never been more crowded nor more competitive than it is today. How do organizations differentiate themselves? You know, when you're in a competitive market and there's lots of other capital campaigns going on in the community, nonetheless, you still need to get in there and come out of your corner swinging. Maybe let's talk for a second about the importance of storytelling.
Well, that storytelling is essentially the basis of what you need to do. Is you have to have your case for support is telling the stories on what your organization does to carry out its work in the community. And every organization has those stories, and it's really vital that you have somebody that can go out and represent your organization and tell those stories. Because people give to causes. They want to support things that do good things in the community, that touches them. And every organization can go out and find those or have those stories, how they've helped people do their work, that they've been able to accomplish different things through these people, and to tell those stories is vital to your fundraising efforts.
So as a consultant, does your company help nonprofit organizations root these stories out and create those stories?
Well, we can't create the stories for them, but we can help guide them into why they need to tell them. A lot of organizations do a good job in carrying out their work, but they don't do a good job of telling people what they do. And because they're busy doing the work, they're busy carrying out their mission. And sometimes you need someone to force the issue that they need to tell their story better. And I think it's true in a lot of organizations. Their focus is in carrying out their mission and not exactly on patting themselves on the back. And I think that what consulting firms help bring out why we need that and have that direction to put it down on paper. So someone in what we do is we organize the guidelines or give the grid work on how to organize volunteers to go out and make the ask and tell the stories. We can't make up the stories. Stories have to be real, but we can orchestrate on how that message is delivered.
All right. Let's take it to the pavement right now for a moment and look at actual timelines. If you can set out for us a scenario, we have a small, medium-sized nonprofit organization, perhaps have never done a capital campaign, need to put an addition onto a building or do some major renovation. What kind of timelines are we looking at here?
Well, I would start before I even contacted anybody. I would say there's probably at least a year when you start saying the idea, we're going to contemplate having a capital campaign. And that starts with usually the executive director and the executive committee of an organization saying, yeah, we have growth. We're expanding our facility, or our facility is aging to a point where we need to do something. And then that's when you start asking those questions. Starting about the prerequisites to a capital campaign, the readiness campaign questionnaires, asking about ourselves, our board, our staff, our image, and then develop that case. And then it's probably in that first next maybe 3 months, then you start looking. If you answer every time you do these prerequisites and you answer yes and you want to go forward, it's probably a month or a month and a half between there. And then you're gathering your facts. It probably won't be till about 3 or 4 months where you're looking to hire either hire or conduct a feasibility study. And it's probably 6 months through where you're actually, you get to the point where you say, yeah, we're ready to go after you get all the appropriate information. So it's probably a year long process, year to maybe even a year and a half process between the time you start asking the question, do I want to get into a capital campaign? Are we ready? And actually ask the hard questions of yourself to a point where you're actually hitting the ground doing, asking people for financial assistance.
And how
asking
long?
Asking for people to contribute contributions.
All right. Now, once you start asking for the money, how long does that process continue? How long is the actual campaign?
A campaign lasts typically about 6 months. From the time you kick it off to the wrap up and you're having the victory celebrations, you're looking at about 6 months. You don't want to drag it out. You want to go in, have all your organizational structure laid out. And that's what a campaign consultant does, is helps you establish the levels of giving from your major gifts down to your, all the different levels of giving that you go through during the campaign. And by the time you get to the thank yous and the meeting of the goal celebrations, then it's about a 6 month process.
So clearly, the better organized you are, and this is obviously something that requires a lot of planning, well ahead of time, knowing that it'll take a year and a half. The better organized you are, I'm sure the greater chances of success you'll have. So considering this longer timeline than I even was aware of, what do you think any small organizations can do before even starting on this path? Are there certain things that you feel like they should be doing, such as growing their email lists, maybe even conducting some smaller community events just to grow their supporter base? Anything you recommend in that realm?
Well, actually, we do. And that's part of that prerequisite when you ask your readiness assessment. One of the questions is, do you have a strong annual support campaign? Annual support is where people give to help you carry out your mission on an annual basis. Say it's for youth sports at a YMCA or summer camp, or it doesn't go to the building of any structure, or it goes to maintaining the programs or enabling an organization to carry out its mission on a day-to-day basis. But that's where your donor base comes from. So you want to develop that program. Again, it goes into that looking into your board. How strong is your board? The ability for them to either give the people on your board, do they have the ability to give or get donations or open doors? And you have to be honest through your board development committee, is, you know, are those the right people you want on your board? Are they supportive of being involved in a capital campaign? And you look at all these questions we went over about your staff. Are they strong? Is that a strong staff? If it's not, maybe you have to ask the strong questions from your board and say, we have to get different people in place. So there are things you can do preliminarily before you go out there. And if the CEO has an eye to do this, they have to start looking and asking these questions before they bring it to the board. And they can do different things that would strengthen their position to go out and do a capital campaign. Like I said, one is really looking at the annual support and can they build up, use that annual support campaign to build a base that would be able to go out and raise major capital dollars.
Dan, I know that your expertise is in the area of capital campaigns, but do you consult with nonprofit organizations as to how to have a more successful, more profitable annual campaign as well?
Yes, we've, in my personal experience and my associates' personal experience, we are nonprofit executives in our. I am currently still doing that, and then Gary Willett, who is my associate, has 4 decades as a YMCA executive, and so we've lived this. And what we really try to really emphasize is that organizations, all nonprofits, should have a well-rounded financial development program that encompasses annual support, capital development, and would also include endowment development. So our company would do all three of those. We don't do as much with like fundraising events. Those are really local and really are events that like golf tournaments and things are really things that organizations can do to supplement their financial development programs at their organization. But the major areas that are going to get them the most bang for their buck are the annual support, capital development, and endowment.
All right. Well, you've opened a little can of worms here. You said endowment. Let's talk very quickly. We're short of time here. But you mentioned endowment campaigns. Let's talk for a second about endowments and what exactly you're referring to there.
An endowment is someone who will give to the YMCA to continue after after they die.
More or less, their
money is... Yes, they would give the money. There's different avenues that they can use that financial experts can get into that. But it is given in trust that the YMCA can only use the money as the proceeds from the investments from that trust. It can be used to sustain the YMCA.
All right.
So it's really a long term. Type of fundraising where you're going out trying to have relationships with people over a long period of time and establish fundraising or giving vehicles that can use that will benefit the organization after their death.
All right, very good. So, Dan, just before we wrap up here, anything special that you can offer our listeners? As I mentioned, I know they're still going to have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'd be willing to offer a free 15-minute consulting opportunity for both of us. They can contact me at 814-590-2543. Or they can also email me at dtdowling, that's dtdowling at gmail.com. And I think in a 15 or 20 minute conversation, we could assess where someone is and where they may need to go, if that's with us or to a bigger firm or things they can do on their own before we get to that point.
Very good. All right, our special guest today, Dan Dowling from Willett Dowling & Associates, a special consulting firm that have expertise and specialization in the area of capital campaigns, doing feasibility studies, overall fundraising growth. So, Dan, we really appreciate you joining us on Events with Benefits today. Hope you enjoyed it. We certainly enjoyed your information, and we'll look forward to sharing this with all of our listeners.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. For show notes, special offers, or to listen to previous episodes, you can visit us at eventswithbenefits.com. Please also consider subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. And if you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and write us a review while you're there. If you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at hosts@eventswithbenefits.com. We'll see you next time.